Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 2 of 1 John. I'll begin by reading. My little children, these things I write to you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word in him, truly or verily, is the truth of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And he that says he abides in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write to you a new commandment, but not a new commandment, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that says he is the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven to you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not in the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lusts thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it's the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have written to you because you know not. I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, and that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let there therefore abide in you that at which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you have need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Excuse me. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. That's a bunch. Let's go back to the beginning and break it down. My little children. Children is what? Technon, produced children. Brephos, Padion, Technon. Technon's the second one in the stages. 6. It says, these things I write to you in order that you sin. Literally, that word sin is, sin carries a stigma. Would you believe that?
Absolutely.
When you say the word sin, it just immediately in people's minds, you're going straight to hell. That's not literally what this word means. It means to err. Little children, I write into you that you err not, okay? That you don't make mistakes. If you are of understanding, if you have the knowledge of something that is wrong, just like these sockets right around the wall here, everybody in this room knows that if you stick your finger in there, take a wire and stick it in there, what's it going to do to you, Ben? It's going to bite you, isn't it? See? So now you know that. I guarantee you, you're not going to stick your finger in there, are you? Yeah, you'd have to be a special kind of stupid to stick a wire in there, right?
See,
that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. This, he said, I'm doing it so that you do that. You don't err. I'm writing these things to you so you don't make the mistakes. Everybody's what they've done before you makes no difference. I'm telling you right now, this is why I'm doing it, so you won't do it again. And if any man err, we have an advocate or an intercessor, is what it literally should say. Romans 8:26 says the same thing about one taking care of you. With the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the innocent one, or the just one.
That throws prayer out the door, doesn't it?
Throws what?
Prayer out the door.
Doesn't it? Throws fear out the door with it. What have we got to worry about? He's taking care of everything. See, if you make a mistake, that's what he's for. That's what the sacrifice was for. So, verse 2 goes on. He is the propitiation or the atonement. He's the atonement for our error or our offense. Okay, he's the atonement for that. If we made a mistake, that's what he took care of. And not for ours only, but also for, and the words the sin of isn't in there. Those are added words. It should just say, but also for the whole world. Not for just a few people that go to church and says, I'm sorry, but for everybody on the face of the earth, that's what he died for, to take care of their sin. And my question to people all the time is, if he paid the price for the sin, what are you charging me for?
Someone else.
Or anybody. Why are you charging me? I'm doing something wrong. Even if I did, that's what he just told you. He's there to take care of it. They don't give me a liberty to go out and do anything I want to do. But if I make a mistake, and everybody makes mistakes, if I make a mistake, that's what grace and mercy is all about. He already took care of it. And I can step back out of the way and not worry about it. I can make a mistake and say, boy, I blew that and I don't want to do that again. I don't want to put my finger in that socket again. I've already got bit once, and it was stupid, so I'm not doing it again.
We're world right there, cosmos.
Yes.
It's a bad, non-spiritual thought process.
Just like it said, if you love the world, see, the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's not this big globe we're standing on.
See? It's all that wrong thought process.
Well, the word for that world is gehe. It's not the word cosmos. Cosmos is what's going on in your head.
Yes.
It's not literally things that you see out there. That's not the pride. The pride isn't the things you possess. It's what you think about those things.
Yes.
When you think that those possessions and money and notoriety is worth more than people, now you've lost something. So you've missed the whole point.
Your thought process is
It's all upside down. God explained to me that the cosmos was, it says that he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, King James language. Literally, I see it a different, totally different way after he showed something to me. He was slain at the conception of the world. When Adam already had Christ in him, that's when he was created, wasn't it? Okay, and until he said, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be like the Most High God. I'm going to sit on the sides of the north there in Isaiah. When he said those things, right there is when the cosmos was created. Right there was the Lamb slain and from the foundation of the world. In here. not from the foundation, but at the conception of the world, there's where he was slain.
Is that the same thing as the tree of knowledge of good
and evil? Sure it is.
See,
he picked up, he ate from the wrong tree right there, see?
He's trying to do it his way, not God's way.
Absolutely. And it's Yahweh, not your way. Okay. Verse 3, we go on to say, and hereby we do know, or by this, okay, in this we do know that we know him if, note that word if, it's there too, we keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments. It's conditional, would you agree to that?
Yes.
The word if makes it conditional, doesn't it?
Yes.
He didn't say that and by this we do know that we know him. And that's the end of it. He said, if we keep his commandments. So it makes that whole statement being conditional that you've got to keep the commandment. And what is the commandment? Everybody thinks that's the Ten Commandments. Is that what we're talking about?
No.
Love.
It's love. The whole new covenant is based on this. Jesus said, a man came to him and said, what's the greatest of the commandments? He said, there's two, and they're basically one. To love the Lord of God with heart, soul, mind, body. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, these two are one. If you do that, you've did the whole law and the prophets hang on this one thing. See, love. And so the commandment he's talking about, and that's all John is talking about this whole book, is the fact about loving people. And loving people doesn't mean you go hug somebody's neck, tell them you love them every day. Sometimes you have to say no to somebody to really love them, don't you? There's a lot of different aspects of love, and you've got to learn what those are. And the only way you're going to learn that is when God, when you let God love you, that's when you're going to learn love.
It includes a whole...
the whole spectrum.
Yeah, the whole spectrum.
The whole spectrum of it. Okay. This is, I got something in my head. In Revelation 14. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So here's the patience of the saints if they keep the commandments. It all rests on keeping the commandment. And it says commandments, plural. And the commandment, it's love, isn't it? You can get rid of all that other stuff and doubt in your mind and other stuff that's drug in and just say it's love.
People don't understand that if you have the fullness of Christ's love, those Ten Commandments are...
they're Ten Prophecies.
Yeah, you're not doing that anyway.
It's not about...
Well,
they're promises or prophecies to you that have been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the new covenant comes, it's been fulfilled.
It's been that wrong thinking of not loving.
The law again, right back to the law. They take the new covenant and put it right back under the law. Verse 4, he says, he that saith, or the one that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in this. Now, not in him, but in this. Now, what's he saying in this? What they said. Say, just saying it doesn't mean it, does it?
Right.
And that's why the last part that they said in him takes it away from what was really stated. It should say in this. The truth is not in this, in just saying what you do. You got to live it. Correct? Verse 5, but whoso, or the one that keeps his word in him, or in this person, truly is the love of God perfected. And by this know we that we are in him. By this what? By the action of love. See, by this love that the person shows to people, that's how we know that what it is. See, the world doesn't even see that. It's invisible to the world. They'll think we're crazy. That's okay. It doesn't make any difference what they think. All we're concerned with is what our Father thinks. Verse 6, he that says he abides in him, now, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now let me tell you what it really says. He that says he abides in him is under obligation himself also in this way to live just as he lived. It's under obligation to do it. So the word ought literally must. The word must or under obligation is what it really means.
Ought, like you have a decision.
Yeah, when you start talking, you got to start walking.
Yeah, like we'll say, you ought to do it.
Yeah, that's a necessity. The language actually says it's a necessity.
But when you're under obligation, it's like you must do that.
There's no choice in the matter. You got to.
Like that tree, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears.
Absolutely. Means the same thing. Means the same thing. Okay, verse 7. Brethren, or literally beloved, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. What is the beginning? Christ. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending.
Or like we said, from the before the conception.
Yeah.
The cosmos.
Well, but the beginning was from whenever it was, you know, way, way back. You know, but Christ, didn't Jesus say, I am the beginning? See? So it came in. We heard it from the beginning. We heard it from the Christ, is what I'm trying to say.
Mine's italicized.
I can't hear you, hon.
Mine's italicized.
Okay. What part of it?
From the beginning.
Verse 7.
Well, mine's not.
And amplified is 10.
Okay, well. But the beginning is what? It's Christ. And the old commandment is the Word. See, it's all tying right back together. Didn't Jesus say, I am the Word? See? Which you have heard from the beginning. The Word that you heard from the beginning, which is Christ. Okay? And there's a whole lot of verses. I ain't going to get into all that. We could spend the rest of the day on verses on that about the beginning. Verse 8, it goes on and says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. Where's it true at?
Inside you.
Him and you. Didn't say just him. He said it's in him and it's also in you. Because the darkness or the ignorance, and it's not just ignorance, and the ignorance of the divine is past. Okay? It's gone. And the true light now shines. See, the ignorance of the divine. Do you know how many people are good people who don't know anything about God? Lots of them. But they still have an ignorance of the divine, of God, in their life. They're wonderful people, but God, for some reason, has not chose to use them yet.
And they're still being judged as good.
And good and evil come from the same tree. Come from humanity. All humanity is good and evil, isn't it? Each one of us has both in us, don't we? And when we look at people that way, we're condemning ourselves.
Yeah.
Verse 9, he says, he that, or the one that says he is in the light and persecutes or hates his brother, is in darkness even now. No matter what you say, if you're still hating your brother, guess what? You're still in ignorance of the divine.
You're ignorant of God's ways.
Ignorance of the divine, whatever.
You're living a lie.
Absolutely. It's all those views that you're saying, all those different concepts that you're looking at are all part of that puzzle.
Pinocchio
problem. Verse 10. The one that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of what?
Stumbling.
Well, King James says stumbling, but it says, literally in the language, it says there's no scandal or there's no offense in him.
Right.
If you truly, and this is something that you have to make up in and understand yourself, that if someone can offend me, then I have a weakness. Would you agree to that? See? And I tell people all the time, you can't offend me because I'm not going to agree to you. So when you offend me, what I'm letting you do is you're standing there telling me, get mad. Go ahead, show yourself, get mad, throw a fit. I'm not going there. Not going to do it. You wouldn't do it either, would you? But in essence, we're doing it if we let someone get us angry to the point that we don't make good decisions. Okay. Let them control us. Not going to happen.
That's why we're here at the end.
We'll be delivered.
Even if you do have a blip, a momentarily...
That's okay.
Follow your emotions and get angry or something, it's how quickly you come back to God's...
This little thing I wrote in front of my book here, I read it all the time because I keep reading it into my own spirit. No one can teach me who I am. You may describe a part of me, but who I am is something I have to remember myself. I have to know it myself. See, I can't tell you who you are. I can encourage you, I can lead you down a path looking at things, but you got to make it up in your mind, don't you? You have to make up your mind and understand who you are. And if someone tells you who you are, I'd really be leery of that.
You're not you.
I'm a little leery of someone telling somebody who they are. Because I've heard that through the church system for years. People start coming in and prophesying, telling people everything they're going to do. Sorry, it just don't work for me. Don't like that deal. For you to figure out who you are. That's why God didn't put a USB port on the side of your head. It won't work. You can't download it. You've got to learn it yourself. You've got to remember it. Okay, verse 11. But the one that hates his brother or persecutes his brother is in ignorance of the divine. Not just in ignorance, but ignorance of the divine. And he lives in the ignorance of that divine, and knows not whether he goes, because that ignorance of the divine has blinded his eyes or his vision of God. That darkness has taken away all of that vision of God. Okay?
What's left?
Ego. Darkness, ego. That's all there is. Verse 12, he said, I write to you, little children, there's again technon, because your sin or your offenses are forgiven. They're already forgiven to you. Through his what? His anoma, his character, and his nature. The word sake at the end isn't even there. It's forgiven through his nature and his character. He sacrificed for us. And it said, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. That's the poneros, the evil one, or the wicked one. Remember what it says in Jeremiah 17:9? The heart of man is desperately wicked and evil above all. The thing don't even have to be there, just evil above all. So the thing that we're dealing with, and these are the keys that people don't understand, that this devil, this evil one, it's in your head. It's not some character running around with a pitchfork and horns and a red suit and a pointy tail. That's make-believe. And old Flip Wilson, I mean, he got the whole world turned upside down on that one. And they fell for it. Oh well. That's okay.
A lot of people don't even know who you're talking
about. That's okay. He was a comedian.
All three of the people in this room don't know.
Probably not. That's okay.
The devil needs
you. Yeah. There you go. That's what Flip had to say. He said, I write to you, little children, because you know the Father. Okay? There's all three realms: fathers, young men, and little children. All three different realms. So he's saying there's something to do for God in all realms. No matter where we go in God, no matter where God has chosen for us to be, it's God's choice, isn't it? And there's no condemnation wherever he's placed us. Remember what you quoted, Lloyd, just a little bit ago? Whatever lot you're in, learn to be content therewith. The first time I heard that in church, they said, with whatever lot you're in, learn to be content therewith. and God will get you someplace else. It doesn't say that. He just said, learn to be content where He's placed you. If God wanted you to be there, that's why you're there. He didn't say He'd move you whenever you got there and acted like you was content. If you're truly content, would you ever have to desire to move again? See? You're there. I know you're not supposed to think, though. I know church don't think you're supposed to think.
Right. Yeah, happiness, good, all being content.
Every bit of it. There's all kinds of things that go along with it.
Yeah, I just want
to... Rest, peace, joy, long-suffering.
Yeah, all fruit of the Spirit.
All fruit of that Spirit. Okay. Verse 13. Love not the world. That word there is cosmos, not gehe. It's not this planet we walk around on. But it's that orderly arrangement in the mind of man, okay? Verse 15.
15. You said
13. I'm sorry. I just finished 13. 14. I finished 14. Love not the cosmos, neither the things that are in the cosmos. If any man love the cosmos, the love of the Father is not in him. Hello. See, when our stuff in the world is more important than people, we missed it. We've missed it. That's why Jesus could give everything away. He didn't care. He didn't have to provide anything for himself. Father will take care of that. You know, he could give it all away. Verse 16. Let me say this about verse 15, because I'm not through with it. There's something kicking in me yet. Verse 15 is where most people are not honest. Okay? First of all, they don't know what the cosmos is. They don't know it's man's arrangement in his mind, what he thinks is right and wrong. Again, that knowledge of good and evil from that wrong tree. But they're not honest with themselves about loving the world and what's in the world. Being able just to cut it loose, it don't make any difference. Everything we have in this world is temporal, isn't it? So why would I put some special value on this thing in my hand over somebody that's eternal? Because whether you believe it or not, you're eternal. Your flesh is gone, but you're eternal. You're not your flesh, are you? It's what's inside of you. See? And how can I say something that is made for the using and casting away is more important? A chunk of gold or silver or a handful of money or something, or possessions, are better than people. Big problem there.
Yeah.
See, that's where I'm saying people are not honest with each other, with themselves. And there, verse 16, what we brushed on a while ago. Because all that is in the world, the cosmos, the lust of the flesh, the pride, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? That's the resources and the wealth and the goods and etc. All the things that the world has to offer. The temptations that the world has to take you to the soulish side of everything. All that is of the world. And if we love that stuff, I enjoy the things that we have in life today. I don't want to live in a log cabin with a wood stove in the middle of it and no fan, no air conditioning or nothing like that. I don't want to live like that, like they did years ago, or in a mud hut or anything. I don't want that. And that's not what God's talking about. We can live any way we want to as long as we don't think we're better than somebody down the street that can't afford it. See, there's the difference, that we think that we're better than somebody else because we got a bigger house or something newer than they got. There's the issue. It's all the issues in our head. See, it's in here. There's nothing wrong with owning the finest house in the world, having the biggest boat in the world, having the biggest, fanciest car in the world, as long as that thing isn't more important to you than other people. See? And it says that all that is not from out of the Father, but it's from out of the world. All that comes out of our own conception in the cosmos. And the world passes away, and the lust of it, but the one that does the will of God does what? abides forever, or literally remains into the ages. Remains into the ages or in throughout the ages. Yep. When you come to that place that the world doesn't mean anything to you, you'll become invisible. People don't see you. It's just they walk right by you, look right at you, look right through you, I should say. They don't even see you. It's okay, because that's just another sign that you've progressed.
Kind of like 2011 Beekman Avenue, right?
Don't exist. Just don't exist. It's okay. I don't care. I know what my Father thinks, and He loves me, and that's the only thing I'm concerned with. If I know He loves me, what else is important? Nothing else. Verse 18. Little children, it's the last hour, not time, last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour. Okay? What do you think about this Antichrist? You know, people are so hung up on raptures and Antichrists and devils and demons and Satan and all this stuff.
Issues
that man has made, not what God said.
I think up there where it said that their eyes were darkened by the darkness came over their eyes and they couldn't.
The ignorance of the divine.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see anything about it.
That's what happened.
So the only thing they can focus to fill that void is stuff.
Issues. Yep. Antichrist, baptism.
Make issues.
Heaven.
They got to make the issues.
Cross, whatever. Jesus.
Whatever it is. They'll come up with something to make an issue out of, rather than fulfilling it with Christ. Antichrist. What does it mean?
You're the opposite.
Well, it's not necessarily always opposite. That's part of it. There's another understanding of it. It's an alternative.
You're
opposed. Yeah, it's not just necessarily opposing. Like what, that's about what Lisa said about the opposite thing here. And that's what most people think. It's always just opposing. But if you oppose that, a lot of times you'll see people kick back on it because it's so different away from God. But it's the alternative that people really buy into.
Ego.
Yeah, but when you stroke their ego and let them think they're doing something really great. I've heard people say this in church system. If you don't like the way that church is doing it, come to our church and we'll do it the way you want it. Yeah. If you don't like this, find a church that does it your way. It's not about that, is it? It's about us being shaped into the image of God, or in the image of Christ. It's not about God shaping Himself into our image.
And that's why they get so uncomfortable, because actually it's getting down into the nitty-gritty and they don't like that. So,
well, that's,
let's
be truthful. It's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. It's kind of like when you take, when you pour in concrete, you pour that big mess of concrete in that form that you want it shaped to, and then you got to rake all that off the top of it and smooth it all out. You know, it gets kind of rough on the concrete. If you're the concrete, that don't feel real comfortable.
And then they come back with a saw and slice you right down the middle.
Cut you all up, make divisions in you and everything to control you. And that's what God's doing in our lives. He's putting us into a form of Christ. And everything outside that form is getting raked off. And that ain't easy. It's hard on us. So,
when they call that concrete,
stress relieve it.
That's to keep it from cracking under pressure.
Well, to keep it from cracking. It's going to crack. But it's not going to crack everywhere. It's going to stay in them control.
It's
a controlled crack.
Cracking everywhere.
Just a controlled crack is all it is. The old guy had the place over in McGovney. Roy McGovney said something to me one time. I asked him about concrete, you know, how you can keep it from cracking. He said there's only two kinds of concrete. Crack concrete and concrete that's going to crack. And he said there's no way you can stop it from cracking. It will crack eventually, but you can control it in certain forms, you know. He told me, he said, pour it in 3x3 squares and pour it at least 6 inches thick and you can probably get by with it. Anything bigger than that, it's going to crack. And that's a man that sold concrete all his life for a living. So figure he knew a little something about it. If you, what's the word I'm looking for? You want to ask people. You want to question them. There's another word I'm thinking of. I can't think of it right now. But
consult.
No, it's like asking them a question, but there's another word there I'm trying to think of. I'll let it go. Never mind. I don't want to get off inside the issue. If you ask all the people that go to church, where could you find the writings about the Antichrist? Where would 99% of them tell you?
Revelation.
They'll tell you the Revelation. It's not there. There's only one person in the whole book that spoke of an Antichrist.
John.
This man right here, John. It's in 1 John 2 and 20, 2 and 18 twice, 2 and 22. It's in chapter 3 once and chapter 4 once. That's all it is. Five times in the whole Bible spoken of. It's never spoken of the Antichrist. He just said, you've heard the Antichrist. He said, you've heard that Antichrist should come. He said, but there's already many of them here now. See, that's already telling you it's not one. Like your church is teaching, there's a one world ruler going to come and rule the world. Not so. He doesn't say it. If they just sit there and read it. It's number 500 in the Strong's Dictionary. If you want to look it up, it tells you exactly what it is. You can find it's only in there five times. And John was the only one that did it. Why do you think John was the one that wrote that? Why did he write it? She's being funny.
It's
because God told him to. No, there was a reason he wrote it. There you go. He understood God's heart. See, he's the one that laid his head on his chest. He heard the heartbeat of God. He heard what God was saying, understood the words that he spoke and what he was conveying in those words, where most people heard but couldn't perceive what he was saying.
And that's a physical thing showing the spiritual thing that he actually could hear his heart or his mind.
He saw the spiritual things as he was talking about them.
Yes.
That's why he was doing it. John was also a net mender in the natural. He mended nets. So he come back and mended the word of God, the net of the gospel. He was mending the mistakes that they had already made in the first century. He come along the last one and start putting things back in order again. And point it back to the love of God, which was the very word from the very beginning about the love of God. It's not some new thing. That's what he just told us. Okay, verse 19. Again, he says, they went out from us. Who is the they? He's referring back to the Antichrist, the many of them, okay? They went out from us, but they, again, Antichrist, were not all of us, because if they... Again, man, Antichrist had been of us. They, the Antichrist, would no doubt have continued or stayed with us or in the midst of us. It's the word meet, it should be in the midst of. But they went out in order that they, the Antichrist, not might, but they be made apparent or rendered apparent that they, the Antichrist, were not all of us. So there could be a lot of those other words put there, but they weren't there. The what is that called? A pronoun?
Yeah.
Is referring back to that same thing. So you could put the word there and it wouldn't be out of order, but it's just not actually that word that's there.
But the Antichrist, the alternative to Christ, in your thought process,
yeah.
Is in the way you're thinking about all this
yeah.
junk, putting that alternative to
the truth, to the love of God. And that's why Jesus said, everything rests on this one thing. All the law and the prophets hang on this one thing, love.
Okay. Basically, you choose either love or this Antichrist, alternative
to everything. Okay? Verse 20. But you have an unction, or literally an anointing, right? From the Holy One, and you know... And there's another thing, part of this, not that you know all things, but you see all things. Just as John could see and comprehend when the words were coming to him, he understood because of the love that was within him also. See, he heard, when you hear the love of God, tell me what it does to you.
It
consumes you. It consumes you. So whenever he heard Jesus speak these things of love, I mean, what else could he do but be the same way? That's why he spoke about love more than anybody else. He was consumed with it. But he could see when Jesus spoke of these things in parables, he could see what he was saying to him. Probably the first one to ever see like that. Till Paul came along. Verse 21 says, I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that all lies are not of the truth. All lies are not of the truth. There's some people who think they can lie and actually something good will come out of it. Best thing to do is tell the truth. It may hurt, but it'll eventually come the way it should be. Verse 22, who is a liar that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. So there's the third one for Antichrist. Now, when he says denies, it's not really denies, but it is rejects with words. It's what it literally says, when you reject him with words. It doesn't mean that because you just don't pay attention, you're just going on doing your own thing. It's when you actually speak against him.
That's serious stuff.
That's what he's saying. When you reject him with words, that's what it says in the language. You reject him with words.
He already knows your heart, so he knows it's true.
Yeah, but see, there's the beautiful thing in this whole thing. That here's the thing that brings peace to us, knowing that it doesn't make any difference what anybody does out there. I don't care what they say, what they do. It makes no difference because he gets them all in the end, doesn't he? Remember the book that, what's the guy's name that wrote it, Love Wins? I can't remember his name. He wrote a wonderful work. He didn't understand it enough to start with, and he got out too quick because he started getting notoriety out of the book. And he got out there by not understanding it. He knew he heard something that was true, and he wanted to write about it before he understood it. And like I say, he wrote some wonderful things about it, and he went on TV to defend himself. See?
Bell was his last name.
Huh? Bell. Rob Bell. Yep, Rob Bell. And at the time, and hopefully now he's learned a whole lot more. I think he has, because you don't hear from him now.
Sometimes I think whenever God speaks, no, I'm not going to say sometimes. When God speaks to us, it's for us, and we don't have to go out the trumpet and blare out the noise of it.
True. That's true. And but Rob was kind of backed off. You don't hear anything about him anymore. He got out there and telling the truth, and he really got his nose bloodied. I mean, this... a radio TV personality. I mean, he was the devil incarnate, some people would say. I mean, he was just coming at him from every angle conceivable, and Rob wasn't prepared to deal with him. He made him look like an idiot. Very ill prepared to take that kind of an interview. He didn't know what the backlash of telling the truth was, and he collapsed under it. And he went away for a while. I don't know where he's at now, and it's none of my concern. I can't do anything about it. But that's the things that happen when you speak the truth. You got to understand what this is all about. If you don't understand it, people make you look like a fool. And then how much, what's the word I'm looking for? How much currency in the spirit do you have? How much power and authority do you have to influence someone if you look like an idiot when you can't even talk about what you say you understand? Huh?
It makes me think about whenever Moses, when they made in the temple where they made the snakes, and they copied him. He threw down the snake, threw down his staff, and it turned into a snake. And then,
but his snake turned and ate theirs. So.
Yeah. So it's the same thing. It's like, you show me yours, and I'll show you my greater.
Yeah. But you know, and he showed his, and then he showed, well, we can do the same thing. But he said, no, you didn't, because mine will eat your snakes. And he did. So I mean,
religion.
It's religion. And that's the things that people do, though. We have to understand some things. Remember what he said, if you continue in my word, you shall what?
Know the truth.
And the truth will?
Set you free.
But what they left out of there was the truth you know will set you free. If you know this truth, you can be totally free. You don't have to worry about anybody, about anything. If anything comes about to you, you know, just like Lisa said when we started today, she said, I know that all things are being done for me and not to me. See? When you understand these little issues like that, it just takes all the pressure off. It's just like a big umbrella over top of you, even just like when it's raining, it just runs off and falls out there somewhere. It's not hitting you. And that's exactly the way it is in the Spirit, if you understand. But you got to be able to understand, not just the natural, but understand what God is trying to tell you. It really sets you free. And it says, the next was 23, right? Whosoever, or all the ones that deny, and that means again, reject with words, the Son, the same has not the Father. And then the rest of that sentence, that verse right there, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. That's implied, but it's not in the language. That's all italicized in, huh?
It's all italicized.
Yeah. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you. Let what abide in you? The truth and the love that he's talking about. Right? Which you have heard. Again, what did you hear from the beginning? The love.
Truth.
The love and the truth. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and the Father. Wow. There's a whole list of things on the love there, but I'm not going to get in that. We could be here all day on just that subject and not do it justice. Verse 25, and this is the promise that he has promised us. Ageless life. Not eternal, but ageless. There's no end to it. Some people can say eternal, but that word eternal is not in the language. Verse 26. These things I've written unto you concerning the ones that, what? Cause you to roam from safety, truth, and virtue.
They deceive you.
That's right. They seduce you. They deceive you with all kinds of fancy words and try to get you to believe that just like when Eve was in the garden, that was the first lie that was ever told in the Bible. If the serpent told Eve, if you do this, you'll be like God. Well, hello, we were created in God's image. So what was the lie she was trying to get her to believe?
She wasn't like God.
She wasn't like God. What's the church trying to teach you today? If you do these things, they're trying to teach you that you're not like God, but if you do these things, you'll be like God. Isn't that the same thing of the first lie? Why do you think God put that in there from the very beginning? Look here, people, wake up. You're already created in my image. You don't have to go out and do something to become my daughter or my son. You're already my daughter and son. Think? That's the things, these simple things that seduce us into religion. That's okay.
You're already saved. You don't need to get saved.
You don't have to get saved. He never told you you have to be saved. He would be denying what he did himself.
You just have to be saved from your own thinking.
You have to be delivered from your thinking. That's what it's all about. The word where they say saved and salvation, those words come from the same word. There's a noun, a verb, and a compound verb. Three different tenses of the word, and it all mean, every one of them means deliver, delivered, or to be delivered. It doesn't mean salvation like the King James has put in it. That's their version of it. It's not the Greek language. Okay, we're back at 27 or 26? 26. These things I have written unto you concerning the ones that seduce you. No, that was one we was on. But the anointing, same one in verse 20, okay? That Spirit of God that's within you, which you have received of Him, remains in you. Okay, he said, what you got, it's going to remain in you. He didn't say it was going to run away, did he? Can you lose that spirit?
No.
See, he said, it you received of Him remains in you, And you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing, that same Spirit, teaches you what? Through all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even what? He has, as He has taught you, you shall abide in Him. He is not an it. See that? See how casual they can put those little things in there, like it, talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not an it. It's a person. It's the person of Christ.
Keeps it kind of cloaked.
Keeps it. Everything's buried under a bunch of hoodoo that the religious people want to talk.
So they can't, don't really.
Well, they get Christ buried so they can take the limelight.
Try to keep it hidden.
Absolutely try to bury it. It said, has taught you, you shall abide in Him. Didn't say you'd leave. You shall abide in Him. Verse 28, it says this way, and now, little children, abide in Him, in order that when He shall appear or be manifested, we, cross out the word may, we have confidence. No, we possess confidence. The word there for have is echo. Means possess. We possess confidence, and literally it can be confidence or frankness. Just say what you got to say.
Boldness.
Same thing. Same line. And not be ashamed or be filled with shame and separated from Him. Okay? In his appearing or His presence.
Don't you think that whenever you're speaking in that boldness or mm-hmm. the truth or whatever, that's what they're talking about, His coming. Mm-hmm. He's
there.
He is raised up. Right. Or the Christ in you
is speaking.
Is speaking. So, I mean, a lot of times I've had it happen. I'll be speaking, I'm like, oh, please don't let me say this. And
can't stop it.
I can't back down from it because it just keeps coming out.
Because it's not your choice.
Right.
Remember, did he say in the gospel, he says, don't take thought of what you'll say, because in the very hour you need it, I'll put the words in your mouth? I know the first time that I spoke truly under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, I was down in Rome, Ohio, at a little Methodist church down there. And it was just like, as I began to speak, it was just like an out-of-body, like you hear people talk of out-of-body experiences, the way I could explain it. It was like this other thing was possessing me and speaking and saying things that I had never heard before come out of my mouth. And I'm thinking, boy, if I had a piece of paper and a pen, I could take notes. And then this thing, I was going on, but in my mind I'm saying, I need to take notes. It's pretty good stuff. I hadn't heard it before.
Kind of all the stuff you're learning and studying and stuff, it just all comes together better than you can ever even.
You can't arrange it the way He puts it out. He just does it.
When you try to do it on your own, it's just blah, blah, yeah. blah.
Well, even that, you can do all the studying and everything, but every time, because I had several people come to me in years past and say, you know, I'd come back and say, I need to minister this same passage again today because there was something there I'm not confident that I did it justice. There's something I missed. Not sure what it is, but I got to do it again. And when I do it again, it would be totally different. I mean, really, there'd be a major difference in it. And I'm thinking, well, how could I be so wrong? God said, you weren't wrong. It was the people you were talking to. What good would it do to talk to somebody like the one, all of us in here, we have knowledge of what we're talking about. It's not like it's some new thing to us.
Yeah.
Go down the street and pick up someone that never heard anything before. What do you think they'd hear in here?
You're freaking crazy.
Yeah.
Nothing. They hear words, but there would be no understanding probably what was going on. So as when the Spirit of God speaks, why would He speak above everybody else's head where they couldn't understand?
Well, in this chapter that you're teaching them, He said He wrote to the
everybody.
Fathers and sons. And
young men, fathers, young men and children.
Yeah, okay. He wrote the whole same
yeah.
thing.
But He has to convey it to each one in a way that they need to hear it. You can't speak the same way to everyone, can you?
Well, if He speaks to you or I or something at a certain progression in our thing, He'll speak differently. Then later on, when we're a little bit more mature,
He can speak more plainly.
Speak about the same thing, but it'll be differently.
More direct to you instead of making it a little easier to understand.
It'll increase as it goes along as you mature. Well,
it's just like you can't talk to Ben the same way you talk to Joe because of the difference of level. Okay? There is a difference level. You know, he's a young man, he's a young child. He's still a young boy yet. There's a difference there. And that's exactly what he's saying. You know, everybody's got to know it. It's amazing how he does it. It blows me away, but that's cool. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is what?
Promoted.
It's born of him or through him. And it literally it says, by the Father, but through the Mother. Does that make any sense to you? You're born by the Father, but through Mother.
Okay.
The seed's transferred into you so you can bring it forth. And each one of us have male and female, right? Okay, so when he gets ready to bring forth, he uses Mother to bring it forth. But it's Father's timing. I like this little book. There's a lot of stuff in it. It just keeps... Any questions, comments, rocks to throw, we take them all.
Is that word